all three of us have gone through bad periods in our lives.
No,
virtual hug.
Well, everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in retrospect, you bounce back from that, and in retrospect, it can become one of the best things that happens to you.
Hello, 欢迎来到唠嗑呀，我是菠萝。
Hello friends, welcome to Talk Ya. 我是豆腐。
耶、yeah. ，
我们回来啦！
回来啦
！We are back.
Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, 对不起，感觉我们每一次录音，
对不起，对不起，
都要说对不起。对，we know we have a lot of audience left comments to us.
Saying to update, please.
Please update. I know, we know. We have been really busy with life since we announced our last live
update
news. Yeah.
So we have lots to update you guys on. But first, this is a recording that we had back in March, April with 土豆先生。
对，这个录音其实是我们很早前录的音，是在今年三四月份吧，我们一直都想编辑并且上传来着，但是真的是生活太忙碌了。
然后我记得 a lot of people liked him before and liked his insights, so I think we'll be talking a little bit about personal growth, mindfulness, job stuff, so please take a listen and we'll have more to update you soon on. Thank you.
对，这一集就是土豆先生的返场，因为上一几次土豆先生那一集真的非常的受欢迎，所以他这一次来聊聊他生活上新的改变啊，他有一份新的工作，还有对于生活个人成长上面的一些感悟跟大家分享。
Everybody wants to know whatThe latest, what's the latest news in
土豆
的
先生
生活？
对
对，
土豆先生。
Okay. So, all right. Well, okay. Last time. Well, I can't remember last time. When it was last year.
It's been time.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe
我查一下。
Maybe a year.
2021年11月3号发布的。
11月。
所以是。
That's not
It's been almost a year and a half.
2 years ago.
Oh, 2021.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a long time. 11月。
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Whoa, damn. I've had two birthdays since then.
Oh.
You took a long break from
Well, what are you, 33? Two?
Two.
Oh, okay. That's good then, because 我们上次的 record,你刚刚过了
I was heading towards 30, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
you
were so
just
young.
December.
I was so young back then.
Oh, you were so young.
No, I had turned 30, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Because when we
so
were
I was 30 already at the time.
When we were introduced to you from the common friend.
From, okay.
She said you and Miss 年糕小姐were directors.So in my head, you guys were like...
谁？年糕小姐。
Old.
Who's that?
年糕小姐啊。
Oh, 小姐。Oh, okay, okay. Okay. She's also haven't been here for a long time.
对。她应该不想来。
Okay, so two years on, right? Well, everybody knows, I think the last episode was you started a new job.
The last episode, he was still 土豆先生还在上一份工作，同一家公司上一份工作。然后他在上一集就说到了，寻找幸福感。然后还有 work-life balance.
When we met up, like when I was still in
fun employment.
Yeah. No. When I was in the last company, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember if we exposed that.
Cannot.
you were super busy. Like when you just started.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And you were talking about like the new project and
data
stuff.
I mean, it's more than just the projects itself, but it's also, you know, starting a new role, learning stuff
as
a junior.
Now. we are talking about now.
So yeah. So
yeah,
so,
so since the last time
when Tudou Xianxiang started his new job, which is maybe just a little bit after we recorded the last episode with him, I was still in my old company, and so we would talk about like how his new job experience was going.
And when did you change to your new job?
About the time that we recorded the last episode.
Yeah. Oh, so November 2021.
Yeah, so that was the transition period.
Oh, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, it's been a bit now.
It's flown by.
Are you still finding your happiness?
It's a
work-life balance?
Yeah. So it's a different kind of happiness, a different kind of balance. Where do I start with this? So since starting the last role, it's been quite refreshing in many ways. So before this new role, I'd been in my last role for three and a half years. And at that point, I had become very good at the job, you know, very used to it, let's say. I'd plateaued, I'd become, a recognized expert in it, but... It's like, you know, I was offered the regional role abroad in the US, and at that point I was thinking, you know, it's a nice recognition, but and it's also a quite a big step up. You know, a lot of people would typically just jump on the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But for me at the time, I took a step back and I looked at the offer and I thought, you know, do I see myself being, the roles that I see above me? So like my boss, my boss's boss, and so on and so forth. Or as a young person, or like early in your career, the more you kind of get locked in, you become specialized, you close off other opportunities, or it becomes harder for you to move just because perhaps the rank or the job title that you have means that if you try to move horizontally to something that's a bit different, people also think or have the perception that, you know, maybe you're too deep. You get boxed in. That's right. So for me, this was kind of like, it felt to me like it was the last chance to really make a significant change in my career in terms of, you know, new coverage, completely changing the nature of my job, albeit it's still within finance, but it's an area of the bank that I've never really looked at. So for me, it was more, I prioritized broadening my horizons and my skill set, my knowledge, rather than climbing the ladder and getting that job title.
I just realized we might have a lot of new friends in our channel.
Oh, okay.
For our channel.
Okay.
Since 2021, November.
Ah.
let me maybe add some background.
Okay.
Yeah, 土豆先生是我们在香港的朋友, 他在 投行工作, 投资银行工作. Mr. Potato is our friend in Hong Kong. He is also a British-born Chinese, and he works in finance, investment banking in Hong Kong. And he was in a job for 3 years when he was recording last episode, which was called...
Whoa.
2021年 11月3号 发布的那一集 叫做伦敦香港投资嘉宾伦敦香港投行小哥 我是如何找到幸福感. It's a guest podcast episode, and the title is BBC from iBanking, My Happiness.
But you, I mean, to be honest, both of us, you know, we are also in companies now that do investment.
No.
Yeah.
Not the same type.
What do you mean? We have a whole arm that does investment management.
Okay, for people who are in finance, there's a buy side and there's a sell side. And he's on the sell side.
Okay.
Your new company is on the buy side.
All right. Okay.
It's still investment. Okay. For like
hierarchies. All right.
For
you guys hire up. You're my customer.
Yeah.
Customers
buy
always, right?
side is better.
More sexy.
Begging for money.
As you are.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So your experience then. We go back to your experience because I remember when you just joined that new role, we had a few like lunches together,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, oh, you know, I'm like, you had this new project about like the data stuff, right? And you
yeah.
were kind of doing
yeah.
stuff on your free time.
Yeah.
And like trying to find a different way
mm-hmm.
to how things were doing. And you were spending a lot of time on your weekends as well.
Yeah.
I mean, today you were working too.
Today
yeah.
is a
yeah,
Sunday. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's quite a humbling experience because starting a new role, even though you have, you know, a certain number of years of experience,
mm.
you end up realizing that you're really just a junior again. You're asking all the same questions, you're learning from things from scratch, and you really have to just be honest, you know, like when you don't know stuff, you ask questions, you don't pretend to know anything, and you have that mindset of really trying to run up the learning curve all over again. And it's a steep one because you do have a lot of expectations on your shoulders that you have to meet, and so you have to take this mindset of being honest and just, you know, really trying to learn as much as possible. And then to your point, the unique selling point of this team, one of the reasons why I decided to join it was because the team had a new boss, and the boss had come from the buy side, had a very different mentality. He was quite a visionary. He was the kind of person that would try to find or try to understand current processes and then and understand why they are or why they exist in the current form. You know, where did it come from? Why has it been this way? And since when has it been established? And then he would go and think of new ways of changing this thing. You know, how do you make it better with what resources are available to us, what technology is available? And since he was building a team, he was, you know, hiring me, he had a few other people, very unique and different skill sets, with a new team and a new diverse, the new set of knowledge and experience. What could he do with it in order to really change the way we work? And it became quite a philosophical thing because, you know, this job that we're in by title is risk management. And for risk management, a lot of these roles, people might know, is, you know, there's a huge component of reporting.
风险管理.
Mm. Mm. Right. And when it comes to this this job, actually, at the fundamental kind of concept of it, reporting is really the end product, but the task that we have is actually a lot more than that. I mean, the entire kind of finance industry really is about risk
mm-hmm.
management,
mm-hmm.
and so when you look at the core of this, the spirit of this job, you know, there is so many avenues that you can explore when it comes to making business decisions, how you impact the way business is done, the efficiency of it, the way you assess opportunities. You know, in the past, it would be that everything was rule-based, you know. But nowadays, what we're trying to do is to have, you know, to leverage technology and to leverage our expertise to come up with very tailored solutions for all clients, but also not sacrifice on efficiency and the speed at which we can process these daily tasks.
But also, I feel as if within like risk, obviously, I'm not an expert,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, since 2008,
mm-hmm.
Things like Basel II, even like now,
yeah.
risk is a lot more, you know, in the front and center.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's things like technology and personalization, which require the risk guys to be, I don't know if it's more flexible, but like
proactive.
You said, more proactive,
mm.
more tailored. So you do have that, like, I don't know if you would call it balance, like, because with 2008, like, I feel as if everything must have changed in the risk industry,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but you're still trying to continue and increase your competitiveness with all of these new technologies.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting.
Mm. It should become a very risk focus.
No, well, I was going to say, so I also started a new job in the last couple of weeks. And so Tudou Xiansheng in the beginning was talking about how like his new role, that experience was humbling because he had to learn, he had to be on the back foot and ask a lot of questions. I also have been feeling the same thing having started in the new role, right? Because like I work in projects, not risk. I think I can say
you're
that.
A project manager.
Right.
项目经理.
Right. Oh, okay. Mm. That's nice.
PM.
But I've always done projects like since the start of my career. So everything that I'm doing is quite natural to me. But I'm still at a new company and I'm still with new colleagues and I'm still in a new team with a new manager. And so I don't think it's appropriate to act like I know things or know more than what I do, because there's a lot of new things to take in, especially for projects, but also just because it's a new company and it's a new team. And so you kind of have to ask a lot of questions and hold your tongue a bit, hold your tongue, meaning like not say what you want to say in the beginning, because you don't want to, because really, actually, you're not in the know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know things
yeah.
in the new company, in a new team.
You're in more of a listen and learn mode.
Yeah. And so you may think like you have a lot of ideas and you have a lot of suggestions, but you have to like pull yourself back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you won't make any friends.
Yeah.
And you won't succeed also. Yeah.
Right. So there's a huge shift in mindset of becoming, you know, the apprentice for a bit, whilst being aware that you have experience and that you have a certain level of knowledge, but that's not what comes first. What comes first is that you want to make sure that you understand the situation, you're learning stuff, and then once you have that new foundation on which you can combine with your existing experience, then you can make, you know, those suggestions and have that multiplying effect of bringing experience to a new
world. Well, you can also give your opinion too, because you started actually maybe just a little bit after Tudou Xiansheng started. You started at right your role. So how was your mindset and what was your like thinking at that time?
I was grateful I had a job because I've been unemployed for several months.
Well, me
so
too,
I
also heard that.
So I was just really grateful and was pacing myself a bit more.
Mm.
What I learned from a previous job that drained me was I was always competitive and I was known as fast learner and go-getter. So I really pushed myself in that job to learn things
previously,
10 times.
Previously.
Yeah, previously. I'm talking about the job before.
Yeah.
So in that job before, it was actually a very challenging job. Normally for one person to learn all the new knowledge and on board fully, it might take 3 months.
Yeah.
I pushed myself to do 1 month.
Mm.
And that really drained me. It was recognized by my colleagues and managers saying, oh, you really learn fast. That in return kind of motivated me to do even more.
Is it still in the past?
Yeah, still
okay,
in the
okay,
past.
Okay.
So I learned from that hard job. I was pushing myself too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't need to. So in this job, I was taking longer at maybe just normal pace to ramp up new knowledge.
But that just sounds like it's more of a, and which is okay, it's more of a, like a personal journey that you were on rather just because it was a new team you had to, you know, change yourself a little bit temporarily.
I was going to ask, so what was the thinking there? Was there a point at which you looked back in hindsight and thought something was wrong and that you wanted to take consciously a different approach in this new job?
First of all, that challenging job, that job before.
Right, right.
In company A.
Okay.
So say I'm in company B now. I'm talking about my previous job in company A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the job in company A was really challenging. That's where I drained myself, pushed myself too hard. So it ended up with hurting my physical health
mm-hmm.
and mental health
mm-hmm.
To the lowest point of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a survival mode.
Yeah.
I really needed to tune down a bit to survive, to ensure I'm not hurting myself again.
Right. Would you say that was a self-inflicted chain of decisions, or was it more of a because of the environment that you're in,
it
that you felt the pressure?
What,
you felt the pressure.
Oh,
as in,
no,
like, did you put the pressure on yourself?
Yeah. Because I
that's just your single.
In company A,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Okay, 我的性格就是非常好强
mm-hmm.
So I'm always competitive. And in
yeah.
company A, I stayed for 4 years. And
mm-hmm.
for the first 2-3 years, I was always rated as top performer.
Mm.
And that's how I got the challenging job, because actually that's a very competitive job. It's they interview a lot of people, and I got in because I was top performer.
Right.
So I wanted to keep that on. However, actually, it's such a different level of challenge. I was in a different job area. I was in a 80-90% Cantonese enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was COVID. So suddenly everything became remote and virtual. So it was just too drastic of a change and challenge, but I was trying to stay on the same pace of progressing as if you were in a easier time and easier job. Mm. I think we also mentioned that we both saw therapists. My therapist analyzed with me
mm-hmm.
and then find out I usually push myself at work or at life at 120%
mm-hmm.
to compare to a normal person. And that's where I think I would be okay with myself. So she says I could tune down a bit, like tune down 20%, which I might feel a little bit lazier, but for a normal person, that would be just like a normal pace, like
mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah, so I was constantly reminding myself to slow down and pause in my new job.
But then I would say this new job, as well as the other circumstances, COVID, the team in which you were performing in, 完全广东话, 是吧?
几乎大部分都是广东话。
Okay, yeah. I mean, on the outset, like on the surface level, it's bad. I guess you could say it's bad.
It's
but
challenging. Yeah.
Challenging, right. But the journey it put you on ended up to be quite good, right? I mean, I know, obviously, that after that job, you had a very tough time. Mm. But after a while, you know, you were on like a road to recovery, and you started taking more care and being more aware of your body,
mm.
giving more care to your mind and your mindset and your mental health.
Mm.
And it wasn't, I mean, you were forced.
Yeah.
Right?
I were forced.
You were forced. But I think that's just what happens, right? Like, life will always give you ups and downs. You cannot escape that. And so it depends on what you do in the troughs of life. Trough meaning like the downturn, like the lowest point in life. So I mean, I don't know. I always feel as if, I mean, you can chip in, 土豆先生, when it comes to the low points of life, you can stay there and go even, and you can give yourself a lot of self-pity. And you can for a little bit, you know, temporarily. And that's really what I guess I would call depression, even though I'm not a you know, psychological or healthcare professional. Or you know, you can use it, and unfortunately, you can take that time to bounce back. I mean, I think we've all three of us have gone through bad periods in our lives.
No,
everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in retrospect, you bounce back from that, and in retrospect, it can become one of the best things that happens to you.
That's called resilience.
Maybe, but it's hard. Like, it's tough, it's hard, and it happens to everybody. But it kind of depends on, you know, what you do with that.
I absolutely agree. I think there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, just to go off your last point about, you know, when you're at the troughs, being able to find a way to stand back up, get back up.
How do I translate trough? Like, peak. So you have a graph, and the peak is the...
It's the opposite to the top. It's the bottom.
最低谷。高峰和低谷。
对。
Like the valley.
Yeah, the valley. Yeah, the trough is like the valley. 低谷。That's right. Yeah. But as I was saying, I think the most important thing is to be able to recognize that, you know, this is a downturn, and that it's all impermanent. Everything is changing all the time. You know, it might feel that in that moment things are heavy, things are dark, you can't see a way out. But with change, you know, there's always going to be opportunity, and you have to set yourself up and believe that change will come and that opportunities will come. In that way, you're in the mindset to be able to receive anything that comes your way and be able to capitalize on it. If you focus too much on the current state and the state that has just passed, there's a very real chance that you end up again boxing yourself in to this deep dark state and not finding a way out, because you're so focused on what is now becoming the past that you miss what's coming your way. I mean, you can always see kind of in a way that life is a series of collisions with the future, and it's really just about, you know, opening yourself up to receive the things that come your way.
Because we were talking about it on the hike, right? Oh, we went on a 最近的爬山, and I was saying to 土豆先生 that I was looking for a job for like a year. And it was super, I like 这个经历, 我从没碰到了这样。So I was like, oh, it's so hard. But on the one hand, you know, you kind of have to keep believing, I guess, and keep your spirits up, which also comes with like carrying on, moving forward, just keep doing what you're doing. And on the other hand, even though you have that mindset, potentially, you still have to go through the experience. Like, it helps you to a degree, but you still go through those emotions. Like, you still feel shit.
to put it lightly. And I think one of the important things to really do is also to not sugarcoat it, not pretend that when things are bad that they're not bad.
Yeah.
Accept that it's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But also just be honest with yourself that sure, it's bad, but it happens to everyone at some point. And that oftentimes you don't see that other people go through similar things because, you know, on average people tend not to share these things, so that there is a bias when you look outside towards other people that life might seem good for everyone else except for you. But the truth is that everyone goes through phases internally, and you know, you're never alone. And that's one thing. And I think with this mindset as well, the other thing is just such one, the idea of becoming resilient. I think I would add to that and say, or maybe go a step further and say that maybe the way really to go is to recognize that developing resilience is probably step number one, you know, becoming stronger and more resistant towards tough times, challenges, being able to accept them. But then step two is to become anti-resilient in a way. So what I mean by this anti-resilient is that, you know, when when you're faced with stress, with trauma, a tough time, that you accept it, you develop strength, and then you grow beyond that. So, for example, I mean, a very easy analogy to describe this is the body is an anti-resilient system where, you know, if you do some exercise, you put yourself under pressure or under some stress. Of course, after that, you get some muscle pain, right? A couple of days later, you get some muscle pain, you get some aches. But then what your body does is it recovers from these tears, this damage to your body. It repairs those tears, and then it grows extra additional muscle in order to become more resilient and stronger than it was before. And so this is the kind of system that we can also try to apply to our mindset, which is that not only do you look at the past and be like, okay, how do I deal with this and accept it, but then also how do I deal with it better going forward?
So if I
had to go back and go through the same thing, how would I do it differently so that perhaps I recover faster and I can deal with it more efficiently, with less stress, and perhaps with some humor, with a lighter-hearted perspective? What are other angles that I could have taken to make this journey easier if it were to come again?
I actually only learned, I think I learned this accepting you are in a bad time, this kind of mindset, only this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
But this year, we were only 2 or 3 months in.
I actually be very conscious about it. Maybe I already started doing it last year, but only this year I'm being very mindful and conscious about it. And I think that's learned from what you said, the traumatic experience of physical health, and also I observed from you during your unemployment or job hunting experience, you're definitely a lot more patient. And you have this belief that things will happen, like good things will happen to you.
But it's hard, though. It's hard. Like, I still felt shit, though.
You felt shit. But you were okay with being feeling shit for a longer time than me. Remember when I was unemployed? I was applying hundreds of jobs a day.
You put a lot of
to get out of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I intensively applied for 2 to 3 months, got so many, like tons of interviews. I interviewed at least 3 companies a week for like months in order to get my job now at Company B. And now I think back, I could have lived with that anxiety of unemployment for longer, so I could pace myself and really don't need to stress so much. But I didn't know. I think I have a pattern that I don't like bad feelings, including unhappy, sad, uncertain, anxious, unfair. I didn't like any of these, and once I feel any of these, I will do everything to get out of it and to push it or to avoid it. So sometimes I felt a little bit, I feel a little bit unhappy or not good, I would jump into solution mode super quickly to find out how to make things better or work.
And then
that actually counteract
you.
Yeah, it actually had a 反作用. So because of me being so rushed to find solutions, and sometimes the solutions are not clear until you really think about it. So I would feel more anxious. So it's turning into another bad loop.
Yeah, vicious cycle.
Yeah, so now I learned to be more accepting. Like for this month, my job has been quite challenging. Suddenly I have doubled the workload. And in the first week, I was having a bit challenging time. I couldn't sleep too well. I would be thinking about working at night during weekends, which is actually quite rare for me for this Company B job. So I really didn't like it. And I was trying to find solutions during my off time, how to fix the work, because I didn't know what to do. What were the solutions? And then the second week, or actually on the day where I felt I was trying to find solutions again, I was telling myself, why don't I just accepting this feeling of, I don't know how to get this job done.
Mm-hmm.
And observing me, why do I feel this? Do I really don't know how to get this done? Or I just needed more time? Or I needed help from other colleagues? Or actually I was just being uncomfortable with uncertainties.
Mm.
So I analyzed a bit and
Is this a second voice?
Yeah. So, from this year, I started to build two voices in my head, which is the second voice is more self-compassionate, versus the first voice is the old me,
mm-hmm.
just being super competitive and solution-driven.
Self-critical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff right there. I mean, you know, the idea of being okay with feeling a bit shit, that's super important.
Yeah.
I think it's not to say that, you know, if things are bad you just leave it that way.
Yeah.
Of course, always have the idea that, you know, you want things to get better.
Yeah.
You want to be the best version of yourself, you want to be in a better situation, all of that is fine, but the element of time and urgency there is key, because oftentimes when we're feeling bad we have that desire to get rid of it, to eliminate it ASAP,
mm-hmm.
as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And that urgency creates anxiety, creates
mm-hmm.
other sources of frustration and anger, which just adds to the problem. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
solve anything. And if you find a solution whilst you're burdened with all of that emotion, oftentimes that solution is suboptimal. And like
mm-hmm.
you said, you know, it also creates a pitfall where you're very prone to creating negative loops, because what seems like a solution at a time really is just, you know, a pseudo solution, a fake solution. And over time you come to realize that, you know, this really wasn't the best idea. And so, you know, being aware that whilst you're emotional, maybe that's not the best time to make decisions, find a time to calm down, be aware that everything takes time, and perhaps whatever situation you got in took time to get there, and so it would take time to get out of it.
Mm.
You know, that really helps. And then being aware of loops, in case you ever do get in a loop, take a step back, you know, try to employ a second voice, a different perspective, step outside of your emotions, look into your current situation from a third party's perspective, and then really think about, okay, what loops are being formed here? What are the sequence of events, the emotions, the thoughts? What are the voices inside of my head that are, you know, reinforcing this loop? And how do I step out of it? At which point do I have control? And you always have control of your own thoughts and your own actions. And if you can change some of that to break the loop.
You know Jordan Peterson, right?
Uh-huh.
So he talks about this first, second voice thing, right?
Yeah.
So I was sharing with her this second voice. So I was like, you know, the second voice thing, like, it's all the time there, because you always need somebody else inside to balance like what you're saying, especially
right.
like self-doubt, like
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of self-doubt, so when I know that I'm in a situation where I will have a lot of self-doubt, like in this new job situation,
yeah.
like, alright, I need to increase the voice of this other person,
yeah.
to say like, no, you're good, like it's all good. So Jordan Peterson was like, yeah, it's great if you have two voices. The even really better people have three voices. So I was like, I tried that one time. I was like, no, I can't do three voices.
He's a clown.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Can't do it.
It's interesting that every time talking to Tudou Xianxian, we'll go back to this personal growth and
like
mindfulness topic. yeah.
Too much, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I want to summarize.
Go somewhere.
One thing I think Tudou Xianxian was trying to share was this could be very counterintuitive idea, 就可能有点反常规, that you want to be resilient to face any difficulties, but sometimes being resilient doesn't mean you need to do things right away. You can be sitting with the difficult situation and your bad feelings for a while. And sitting there and embracing the feelings doesn't mean you're lazy or you don't really want to solve it. It can be a smarter way of being resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one more analogy is also to have a personality a bit like a tree. But you have to be selective about what kind of tree.
Uh-huh.
Some people feel like
this is also
strawberry tree.
You have to be Wing Chun.
Right, you have to be strong sometimes. You know, people always say, "Oh, you've got to be strong. You have to be resilient." But you know, like the mighty oak is a very strong tree, but it's also very fragile. Under enough force, it breaks.
Oh, because it's too dry.
Right. No, just because it's being too strong.
Okay.
No, too stiff, too strong, too hard. Right. A much more sustainable way of behaving, and instead of strong, I'm going to say tough, is to be like the willow.
Yeah.
You know,
when, 以柔克刚.
Exactly. So go with the flow. Sway.
I don't know.
Sway a little bit. You know, if something comes your way, if there's force that comes your way, go with it a little bit. You know, that's not to say go all the way and lose yourself, but go with the flow a little bit. Bend with the forces, and that way you can find that you can withstand a lot more without breaking.
对. Oh. 一切听起来好像很简单啊，土豆先生就是刚才说了这么多，一大串。但是其实，from my personal experience, that take a lot of homework and practice to achieve. And if you listen to this, you're like, oh, nodding your head, yeah, sounds alright. I still don't understand, and I still don't know how to do it. What do you mean by observe from a third party? It is hard, so you'll find it if you are practicing for long enough. Yeah. Here is the end of our chat with 土豆先生.
We hope you enjoyed listening. Please leave a like, subscribe, follow, comment, 等等。
对，欢迎大家关注、留言、转发、评论哟，谢谢，拜
拜。